And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Fresh off a very successful fantasy football draft last night at Mill Creek Brewing in Nolensville. What a time it was, Joe Rex Road.
It was great. It was great. My home bar, you know, it was like home bar advantage, for I guess for me and for Brennan, you know,
Brennan
who shows up on his own, you know, at the bar.
Awesome.
Yeah, tried to talk trash, you know, got your and your wrong, drafted kind of a crappy team, but I thought we had a great draft. Everybody was having fun, you know. We only broke one glass, so that was successful.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was good. I feel good about my team. I don't know about you guys, but I'm feeling pretty good.
Well,
I haven't scouted everybody yet.
There's a heck of a showdown. Week one. Robbie Stanley, Michelle Knezovic. It's getting real. Week one.
Robbie, come on. We both know who's going to win.
The commish.
The commish is projected to win at the moment, by the way.
Is that right?
That is true.
Okay, I got to go to the site.
See what happens on that front. As we know, projections, they mean everything in fantasy football.
Absolutely everything.
That's right.
You're right, Robbie.
And thanks for the name suggestions, everybody. I did like what Jared's daddy was that one of them?
Stillman's daddy.
Stillman's
daddy. Stillman's
daddy. I mean, that's appropriate, accurate, but I mean, not like literally accurate. But I went with Nolensville Nigel Tufnell. So this is one thing that's a big movement in my life is that everyone must watch the movie This Is Spinal Tap, and your life will be better if you do. So. Nolensville, Nigel Tufnell.
It's on the list.
Yeah, good.
The list that we don't actually have, but we just refer to it all the time.
Got a running list.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm actually going to start actually doing that, I swear.
That would be
so
good.
So, Derrick Henry on this team.
You did. You ended up now.
How much of the listeners today? Do the listeners want 4 hours of like breakdown of our draft?
Just of your draft?
Yeah, well, we can talk about some of the other teams too, I guess.
The fact that we have not brought this up yet is hilarious, but you know, you had your Rex rant on Monday about, you know, the auto draft and trying to be sabotaged and all this stuff. And then we sit down yesterday and you get there right before the draft. And you come back to your seat, and there's no internet to be found. And with about, I would say, 3 seconds left on your clock, you draft Derrick Henry. I think it was going to select Saquon Barkley for you if you didn't do it. So, good save by you.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, I mean, the Wi-Fi connected. I've been in there many times with my laptop, so like it auto-connects, right? And it was fine. It was good. So why did it disconnect? Is this another conspiracy? There's certainly a conspiracy against me in the Titans Media League that I'm the champion
of. I'm starting to think maybe it's operator error. It could be what happened.
But you saw it. I mean, I just walked away.
Just saying.
That was a good save. So I think Brennan got relegated to Saquon, right?
He did. Voluntarily chose him.
Yeah.
He was eighth overall.
No, I mean, that's actually not bad to get him there. Yeah. Eighth pick. Yeah. So I haven't scouted all the teams. But, yeah, everybody there was great. We had a nice lively crew. We had a lively crew on Zoom, too.
Yeah.
I got a little dizzy, Blair Witch Project type stuff going on. Was it Christopher walking around his house? But, it was good. And Mill Creek Brewing, great place. We appreciate it. Great burger. Smash burger.
I got the pretzel bites. Very solid. Oh, yeah. Very good.
We appreciate them having us last night.
Yeah, they roped off the little area for us. That was nice.
Joe's a VIP there.
Yeah. Well, spent a couple bucks there, I'll tell you that. But, well worth it. I'm just saying, like, they know me there.
Like, oh, it's Joe.
Well, I mean, like, the fields.
You in for your shift today?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the athletic fields are right kind of, like, next to it. Like, if you walk through the trees of the parking lot, you walk to, like, all the baseball and, like, flag football, where Brennan played Little League football. So it's like, okay, after the game, let's walk over here, you know? I mean, it's right there for you. So in lovely Nolensville, Tennessee.
That's right. Shout out to Nolensville last night. I think we've decided that if a listener wins the Fantasy Football League, because we've gotten a lot of questions about the Fantasy Football League, had some people upset yesterday on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com that they were not in the Fantasy Football League. This is going to be an annual staple here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll continue to do the Fantasy Football League. But I believe we have come to the decision that if a listener wins the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League next year, or this year, that they'll automatically be back next year with a chance to try and defend their title. If a listener does not win, if one of us win, or God forbid if Brennan wins, no listeners back in the league next year. Ineligible.
Yeah, it'll be. Oh, okay, so.
I shouldn't say ineligible. You'll have a shot to win again.
Okay, so they're not ruled out for next year.
They're not ruled out.
They're just not in for sure.
That's correct.
That's a good rule. So you win a spot among whatever else the other things that we put together for the winner.
That's correct. A great prize. I mean, this is an elite league, guys.
This is going to be an elite league.
Honestly, like, it was a good draft. Like, I thought that was good drafting. I mean, maybe, you know, a few weird ones here or there. But hey, I mean, that's okay.
Somebody has two QB or two. Who has Mahomes and
Herbert?
Yeah.
I think Christopher had Mahomes and Herbert.
And how high did he get Herbert?
Like fourth?
That's pretty high. I don't know if it was fourth, but it was maybe fifth or sixth.
Now, if it was Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
You put him at the flex.
I'm surprised you didn't draft Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
He's your guy.
That's what I actually should do with my last pick in every draft is draft Taysom Hill.
You did get your other guy.
I got Rondale Moore. Rondale Moore, both leagues. Thank you.
I think Tim got hot fucking chicken.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, good job, Tim. Good job,
Tim. How excited are you to see Rondale Moore in person coming up on Sunday when the Tennessee Titans host the Arizona Cardinals? This is a big day for you.
Yeah, well, hey, I'm projecting him as I think Elijah Moore is also going to be great.
Yes.
The rookie Moore is in the league, but I'm a big Rondale Moore believer, you know, and the college game does not always translate because I'm also like, I still think KJ Hamler is like the next Tyreek Hill, and so far I haven't seen much from him. Now, he's been hurt most of his career, so I'm not always right, but I feel like Rondale Moore, if he can stay healthy, he's gonna be a problem for people. He's gonna be out there Sunday, and that's a really fun matchup if it's Molden against Moore.
Yeah, I would say so. Would you like to take your victory lap today? I was listening on my way down to this fantasy draft yesterday to your segment against Jared, and we'll get to some topics of the segment against Jared yesterday coming up a little bit, but. Caroline deemed you yesterday the winner in the Joe versus Jared weekly showdown that's now on Stillman & Company.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, Caroline. She, you know, she's in a tough spot because she can't every week have me win, even though it's going to be a landslide every week, right? Like,
It's not good radio if you win every time, right?
Well, yeah. And it,
well, I made a comment.
And she's got to deal with Jared whining, you know? So, I mean, like.
Which he did after that.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, some of his takes. What's funny is, like, he got upset that I agreed with him a couple times, which is just, I mean, it's a perfect example of the problem with Jared. So I think I should just go first every time, because no matter what I say, he'll find some reason. No, that's not right! You know?
That was a good job.
Thank you. I'm Jared! But, yeah, it was a – I mean, we'll talk about the Vanderbilt stuff. It's like, dude – and I know Caroline kept trying to talk, you know, talk sense into him afterward. But, it was fun. It's fun. I'm for it.
You didn't get to really yelling at each other quite as badly as week one.
Well, yeah, because week one, he's basically saying Greg Schiano was Urban Meyer. And it's just like, dude, like you just got done saying like PJ Fleck hasn't earned any, you know. It's like just because you are quote unquote arguing something, like you should not lose all reason to make your point, to try to win the argument. You got to stay within the confines of reality. Or so I would say. But hey, dude.
Not everybody takes that approach, man.
You do you, Jared.
Not everybody takes that approach.
No, clearly.
You ever watch First Take on ESPN? Not everybody takes that approach.
Not a lot.
Yeah, you're not missing much.
But I mean, I have.
Shout out to First Take.
I have seen it.
Sure, there are people out there that enjoy it.
Well, clearly there are.
Clearly they are.
Sometimes, I mean, I've seen it where I think it's a good discussion argument.
Yeah.
And other times when it's not.
So fantasy football drafts, at this point, I would hope, are done. Does anybody draft like today at like 3 o'clock.
I've never heard of that.
They bring it right down to the wire before the game kicks off.
Like they wait till the 3 o'clock injury report comes out.
Yeah, they're just waiting until
the very last injury
the
report.
The very last second.
I mean, I guess people who like don't have jobs and stuff, maybe.
Yeah. It'd be a heck of a strategy.
A young...
Got Tampa Bay and Dallas kicking off tonight. You wait until an hour before game time to finish your draft.
Like some retirees, maybe?
Maybe so.
Early bird dinner, fantasy football draft.
Yeah.
Stay up till halftime of the game, tape the rest.
What do you think of the matchup tonight, Tampa and Dallas? Are you looking forward to watching this game?
I am. Yeah. No, I'm very much looking forward to it. Not just because I got CeeDee Lamb.
And Tom Brady, your guy.
Yeah, your boy.
Brady. Well, of course, get to watch the GOAT. But, yeah, I am interested to see if Dallas can make it a game. That would be fun if Dallas could make it a game. I think Dallas offensively could have success tonight. And I just, Dallas' defense, I don't know. No, I'm in. I mean, there could be better matchups. There are some other games on the schedule this week that, like, I would have preferred to be, Kansas City-Cleveland tonight. That'd be sweet,
Yeah.
But you can't have the Chiefs, like, every single primetime game. I get that. And it's the defending champs. There's some other game. I mean, actually, I think the Titans-Cards is a sneaky underrated game. Steelers-Bills, we've talked about that. And the fans, and by the way, who was it? See, I'm so bad with names.
So many Buffalo fans.
Well, so one of our league members, and I'm so bad with names and I apologize, but he sat right next to me.
It was Dennis. Yeah.
He has worked security, and he said that the Steelers fans were the worst.
Yes.
He said Steelers fans were the worst.
You'll get a lot of votes around here for the Steelers fans being the worst.
Well, you know what? I saw TD yesterday, and he said, you know what, Michelle? I agree with you. He said, I hate Bills fans.
There you go.
So, to each their own.
We're starting this is a thing. This
Bills Mafia is going to show up outside the studio.
At some point, they're going to get the @1025, Twitter account, and then they're just going to dox everybody.
For the record, though, I like Buffalo wings. Robbie, you have started something that everyone thinks I hate chicken wings now.
Truth doesn't matter.
I hate those buffalo wings.
I mean, I think most people probably like buffalo wings, would be my guess.
Yeah,
some don't.
You can hate a fan base and still appreciate their cuisine.
That's right. Adam Schefter pointing out on Twitter that Tom Brady will start his NFL record 300th regular season game tonight. So career game in the regular season, number 300. I'd be interested to see how many playoff games he's played because it's probably close to 85. He's played a lot of playoff games, man.
That's a good point. Pretty probably amazing, man. Hey, if you get 16 hours of sleep and eat kale 3 times a day, you still can't do this. But that's got to be part of the formula.
It's got to be in there somewhere. When we come back, we'll talk about the Titans, including taking a deeper look at the injury report that came out yesterday for Tennessee. Is it time for concern with one of the prominent players for the Titans on offense? We'll get into that coming up next. Right now, though, speaking of week one, I got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. NFL Week 1 finally here today. And now all you need to do is log on to FanDuel Sportsbook and claim your risk-free bet. That's right. FanDuel is giving all customers a risk-free bet just in time for Week 1 of the NFL season. Tampa Bay and Dallas in action tonight. The NFL season kicks off. Tampa 8.5 points favorites in this game on the FanDuel Sportsbook line. You can take it any way you want to take it. There's money line bets, over under, prop bets, same game parlays. Take it any way you want to take it. And that's just one of the many reasons I love betting with FanDuel Sportsbook. It's America's number one sportsbook. It's very easy to use, and they get you your money quickly in as little as 24 hours. So use FanDuel Sportsbook on any week one game. Bet the money line or take the over. Throw some action on a prop bet or build a same game parlay bet. There are just so many ways to play. If you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, sign up today with promo code ROB and also receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That promo code is ROB. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Joe will probably be one of the ones wearing a hard hat.
I mean, I'm,
exactly. When they take the picture, be like, Mayor Cooper.
He's going to have Candace the giant scissors.
The Chancellor, Clark Lee, Tim Corbin, Joe Rexroad. Cutting right there.
With a big pair of scissors and the
right,
ribbon.
Oh, he'll be right there.
Vandy Joe.
Vandy Joe, baby.
That's right. Joe Rexroad tomorrow, Robbie and Rexroad. Joe, appreciate it. And
congratulations on the win, Joe.
That's such bullcrap.
Why?
Thank you, Caroline. Jared, hold that L, baby. Hold that L. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Joe.
That was Joe Rexroad yesterday on Stillman & Company. Telling Stillman to hold that L. Good job yesterday on the show.
It's not hard. I mean, I don't take any. Honestly, I will dunk on him because I like him to feel bad about his terrible opinions. But, it's not some achievement to beat him in an argument. It's like beating Brennan in fantasy football. I mean, I almost feel bad about it.
Joe, Brennan is going to win.
Oh, please. I mean, Brennan trying to talk trash. He's like typing my full name into the,
He did.
Yeah.
Throughout the.
You saw what I deal with now.
Well, he threw out some LeBron James is trash. Aaron Rodgers is trash.
Right. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Sure. Yeah. Totally. Everybody's trash.
He said Kentucky basketball was. I have an issue with that.
Oh, yeah. He's like, Kentucky basketball's trash. John Calipari's a cheater. I'm like, Brennan, just, okay. We don't have time to explain everything to you right now. Just do your chores. Go to bed. Don't leave. Don't leave dishes in your room. Don't put glass, like a glass of water or milk on wood without putting a coaster down. I mean, I can go on and on. But I mean, again, it's similar. Actually, it is, like the Stillman's daddy name. I mean, it kind of does feel similar when I'm arguing with Jared, Jared, come on. Let me help you with this. Did you do your homework? Et cetera, et cetera.
That's right. We'll get a little bit more into the discussion that Jared and Joe had yesterday coming up at 7 o'clock regarding the Vanderbilt Commodores. Joe, the injury report came out yesterday for the Titans, which, as I said yesterday on the show, it may be Mike Vrabel's least favorite day of the year with the injury report coming out. And now there's a little bit more clarity on what's going on. And A.J. Brown on the injury report with a knee listed on the injury report. He did not practice yesterday. We know that A.J. Brown had off-season knee surgery. We talked about the Instagram video that went along with that and how wonderful that was. But yet again, the knees bothering A.J. Brown heading into this season. Now, he's not been a full participant at training camp throughout the whole time. He's not really played in the preseason. So I'm not overly concerned that A.J. Brown's going to miss the game on Sunday or anything like that, but is it time to be concerned about A.J. Brown and his knees, given the fact that he did just have surgery on his knees? Obviously, they were bothering him all season long last year, and now here we are before week one, and he is on the injury report once again with knee problems.
Yeah, it's fair. I mean, look, he got all mad about Adam Schefter's report, whenever that was, a couple weeks ago, about a knee thing, and he sort of, without directly, kind of subtweeted it, what did he say? Don't believe this stuff or something like that. Well, I mean, he's on the injury report with a knee, and he had the surgery. We saw the pain he was in, also how incredibly well he played last year, despite that. But, long term, I don't think it's great that you had surgery and now on the first week of the season, it's not even like because of some games, you start to get banged up a little bit. I mean, the amazing thing about this injury report is, I'm looking at it like, boy, there's the shortest one of the year, three people, and it's just going to keep growing and growing, and it's going to get harder and harder for a lot of people in this league, in this team, in this league. So first week, you're on it. You're not practicing on Wednesday when how much have we talked about this offense, needing to play together and build that chemistry. Now, Tannehill and Brown have chemistry, but still, Brown, Julio Jones on the field doing reps at the same time, and he's not out there. I will say, one, today, very, very interested to see. I mean, I would assume he would be out there. If he's not out there today, then, I guess it's fair to say he's questionable for Sunday, which would be obviously a huge disappointment and something to really worry about. I mean, I saw him Monday out there, looked totally fine. Yesterday, saw him walking in the building, He was. I mean, it's not like he was limping or anything. He's looked to be in good spirits. So I'm suspecting he'll be back out on the practice field today. He'll be ready to play Sunday. He'll probably play well. But think back to the beginning of camp with A.J. Brown. The first few days of camp, he took all the reps, and he was doing team and doing everything, and he was absolutely dominant. We talked about it on the show at the time. And then he started to not participate. And I don't think that's by design. I mean, I'm assuming somewhere along the way there was a tweak. There was some sort of something emerged. And it's not where you want things to emerge, especially when you've already had surgery and dealt with it for a year. So, yeah, I think it's fair to be concerned long-term about his knees.
Well, the big thing is, and I heard you guys discussing this yesterday, and I agree, like, you're getting close to the point where you're going to have to make a decision on how much money A.J. Brown is worth. And we know it's going to be a lot. I mean, A.J. Brown's going to make a lot of money on his next contract if he continues to play, not only continues to play the way that he's played, but continues to build on that, which I think there's a case that he can. But what you don't want to have happen is you give A.J. Brown a long-term deal as one of the highest-paid wide receivers in the NFL, and then he can't play at that level anymore because he's got knee problems. That's what you want to avoid if you're the Titans. So I'm concerned about this. Now, do I think that A.J. Brown, this is all of a sudden going to put the Titans season in jeopardy? Like, no. Like, I think A.J. Brown's going to be out there on Sunday. I think he's going to be able to play. But, man, it would sure be nice to see A.J. Brown be able to play at, like, full strength and have a fully healthy body out there and be able to play. We saw how good he was a year ago, and he was hurt the whole time. Like, what could he do if he was completely healthy? I would really love to find out the answer to that question if I'm a Titans fan.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, last year, for a lot of it, you know, I guess I didn't really realize he was hurt. But if you go back last year, there was certainly something happened in camp, and then he was all of a sudden not out there much, and he had something on the knee and on and on and on. So it's pretty amazing that he played the way he did last year. It's also, it's hard to just keep counting on that, right? I mean, if that's going to be a continued problem, then at some point it's going to affect your play more. But, yeah, I mean, I keep going back to the huge difference from the beginning of camp with him in both participation and how, I guess I shouldn't say how he looked because he hasn't done a ton of team stuff since then. But that right there should tell you something. Again, those guys, AJ and Julio, were leading all the drills Monday. That's all we get to see now. We don't get to watch team. And nothing on either knee. In some of the drills, you know, you're sprinting, you're going fast. Looked just like AJ Brown. So that's good. Is it possible that something happened in team that day? That's also a possibility here. You know, that something happened and they're like, well, he's got to miss Wednesday. Or was this like, you know what? One day a week, he's just going to take off. And that's the plan going forward. And if that's the best case scenario right now,
right,
from the outside looking in, that they're like, look, we can afford for him to not practice one day a week. We'll go Wednesday and that'll give it extra rest and then do the full deal Thursday, because Thursday is a very important practice in an NFL week. I mean, Thursday is the last full go practice. Friday you walk through, Saturday off, you know, game Sunday. So if that's like what it is, then that's best case scenario right now, and it's just them trying to be smart and not overburden the knee.
Well, and if memory serves me correctly, didn't he miss a couple days a week last year at practice just based on the
injury? He missed a lot of practice.
Yeah, he missed a lot of practice last year.
Yeah.
Which, again, it's not what you want, but he still found a way for the most part to be out there on Sunday.
I want to say, I could be wrong. Yeah, I don't know. I was about to say, I think there were definitely weeks where he didn't practice and he played Sunday, but it feels like he got in a day usually. But definitely, he missed a lot of days. Now, there were other guys, like Ben Jones, I for sure last year, there were some weeks where it's just like, man, just find a way to get out there Sunday, buddy. And he did. But, yeah, A.J. Brown missed a lot of practice time. Again, if that's what this is, I mean, today's important over there to see if he's in uniform and out there. Because if not, then it looks a little bit more like something recent happened. and Sunday's actually a question mark. And yeah, it'd be quite a downer for the Titans to not have the full complement of skill guys Sunday afternoon.
And then a couple other guys on the injury report as well. Chris Jackson on the injury report with a hamstring, limited participant yesterday. David Long with a hamstring as well, also a limited participant.
Well, limited for David Long is good.
Yes.
Because, again, he's missed time. You know, those hammies, you know how that goes. I mean, the hammies are just – you just got to be careful about coming back too early. And sometimes you don't, and then it still flares up on you the first time you extend yourself. That tells me – I mean, I think Elijah Molden's going to start in the slot. And I think David Long, if they could get him – on third downs, they would love to have him. That would be good to have his speed on Sunday, especially you think about this particular matchup.
Coming up next, we'll continue to look ahead at NFL's week one in the NFL season with our divisional previews. Up next, the AFC West. We'll do that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Do you want to win a pair of tickets to see Stanford versus Vanderbilt at Vanderbilt Stadium on Saturday, September the 18th? Well, if you do, head on over to our YouTube page and subscribe to the 102.5 The Game YouTube page, and you'll enter to win your way into the game. One winner will be chosen on Monday, September the 13th. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Looking ahead at each NFL division throughout the rest of the week here, and today we do the AFC and NFC West. And Joe, we begin with the AFC West and some intriguing teams. Obviously, the Kansas City Chiefs, once again the favorites in the AFC to get back to the Super Bowl. You've got the Raiders with John Gruden and company, the Broncos, and the LA Chargers as well, who are receiving a ton of love this offseason. I think I know what your answer is going to be on this, but as you look at this division, what is the most intriguing team, or who is the most intriguing team to you as you look at these four teams in the AFC West as NFL's week one is set to begin coming up later today?
So you think my answer will be the Chargers?
That is what I think it will be.
Maybe I'm just chargered out a little
bit.
Well,
it could be. You know? I could see why.
Because I think the Raiders are intriguing. I actually think like the whole division is like has potential. I mean, the Broncos, if they actually stay healthy, like I think they could be a pretty good defensive football team. Their head coach is a pretty good defensive football coach. The thing with them, they're kind of in a tough spot though, unless they can get your guy, because I feel like they're going to be stuck in the middle if they don't. They're too good on D to be total dog water.
Well, they're not getting him this year.
What's that?
They're not getting him this year.
Well, right. Right, but I'm saying moving forward, like they might just be stuck, not able to get that quarterback, who they've obviously been trying to get. And, I mean, Bridgewater's a pretty good player. I think he can be pretty good. I like their receiving core. They've got talent there, pretty good backs. So, Maybe I'd say the Broncos, because I actually think that they could sneak into the playoff discussion. But I would say the same thing about the Raiders. I don't see anyone in this division that's hopeless, and I know that's the whole idea with the NFL. Everybody be 8-8-ish.
Yeah.
You know, everybody have a hope, have a chance.
Yeah. 9-8.
Yes. Thank you. Now that it's actually starting, let me just say again.
This is it.
So
it's
damn
the beginning.
Stupid.
It's a new era today, Rex Road. We're finally here. The 17-game NFL schedule.
We were asking at the draft last night, is anybody older than me? I think we got a couple people in the league. But the point is, I'm pretty freaking old. In my entire football watching life, it has been a 16-game schedule. It is one of those things in life you can rely on. You know, the sun coming up in the morning, taxes and death and... 16-game NFL seasons, but whatever. So 9-8. 9-8 type team, sure. I've lost my train of thought. The Broncos intrigue me. The Raiders intrigue me. I mean, I like their skill a lot. Are they going to be good enough defensively? Like what's the feeling in Raider Nation? You know, you're speaking about crazy fans. I mean, have we ripped Raiders fans enough? By the way, Dennis to follow up on what he said last night, doing security at Titans games, he said Steelers are the worst. I see the eye roll. And then he went Raiders, Bengals, for the record.
Buffalo.
The Bengals.
Yeah, he said Bengals fans are like surprised, shockingly awful. Again,
wow.
With all these fan bases, let's and this is a great rule. This is also a rule of life. Like, there are idiots in every fan base. So if you sit next to the wrong example of a fan base, you could then say, "Oh my God, you know, Tulane football fans are the worst." You know, or if you sit next to the right group, it's like, "Wow, Ohio State fans are so reasonable and kind. I had no idea." So, but yeah, that's what he said. Anyway, Chargers do intrigue me, and the Chiefs that also intrigue me because now that they have an offensive line, what the heck are they going to be this year?
Look, we know they're going to be really good, and I'm intrigued to see just how good they're going to be. The most intriguing team slash player to me is really one guy, and that's Justin Herbert in this division. I mean, there's so much talk about Justin Herbert right now being an elite level quarterback. And look, he was good in his rookie year. I don't think there's any question about it. He set the rookie touchdown passing record. So he was really, really good. Now, there's a difference between being really good and some of the conversations that people are having about Justin Herbert this year. I mean, there are people that have already anointed him as like a top five quarterback in the NFL. So I'm not quite willing to go there yet. I'm interested to see, though, if he can live up to the hype that's surrounding Justin Herbert this year, because not only he, but the Chargers as a whole, a very popular pick across the league this year to do some damage.
Yeah, and look, I think like Shiel Kapadia for us at The Athletic, he made a strong case for them. And really it comes down to Shiel is a big, he's not alone, but he's a big like regression to the mean stats guy. So when you have a high level of, you know, either bad or good luck, and you have a high level of like close or wins or losses, a lot of times that next year you see it kind of bounce back the other way. They were definitely a bad luck team, definitely some of those stats that just got them. I mean, they lost so many games late. You know, it cost Anthony Lynn his job. I think in some of those cases, coaching was directly, you know, a problem. You know, that makes sense. And honestly, some people make the case against the Titans for some of those things too. The Titans, like, turnover margin was bizarre given their defensive struggles, for example, you know. And so there's some people look at them and say there may be some regression the other way this year. You know, the big question too is with the Chargers is, you know, is Brandon Staley. I mean, you know, is he going to be a good head coach? I mean, who knows? You're talking about, 38 years old? So he's a young guy. You know, obviously he's just moves across town. He was McVay's DC. And that's a big part of this, you know? What's he going to be as a head coach? But I get it because I do think that they have a very talented roster. You know, Joe Lombardi is a guy now working with Herbert. And so that's a big part of this. I think Herbert's good. I think he's very good, maybe. I think he's good for sure. Very good, probably. Great? I don't know. Let's hit pause on that.
What do you think this division looks like when the week 18 is said and done and the 17-game schedule has been played? Who wins this division? What is the order of finish in this division in your mind? You going to go out on a limb, say the Chiefs win?
I'd love to be different. This is one of those things that we need to do. We need to have like Caroline have the argument. Okay, so the Kansas City Chiefs will win the division, yes or no? And then I'll make the argument for the Chiefs, and then Jim, you know, he'll just
the Chargers, so
much, you know. But yeah, I'll go Chiefs. I'll go. I'm going to go Chargers. I think the Chargers. Like I actually sneaky. Wanted to pick the Broncos because I like Bridgewater. I like their defense, but I'll go Chargers then Broncos, and I'll go Raiders fourth. And back around to the wacky Raiders fans. What are they feeling about Gruden right now?
Well, You know, they're probably impatient based on the contract that he signed, but also based on the contract he signed, he ain't going anywhere. So you better get comfortable with him because he's not going anywhere. Like, they're not firing him. Yeah. What does he got? Like 6 years left on that deal?
It was a big, expensive deal.
And that's why you don't do that.
Right. But will this time up where he can be with the Vols next?
Maybe that's
another question for another segment.
We'll have to get to that coming up. We'll just keep an eye on Calhoun's out of Knoxville.
That's right.
See what happens on that front. I've got the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Raiders, and then the Broncos.
Down on the Broncos.
You know, quarterback's Teddy Bridgewater. And I like him.
It's better than Drew Lock.
He's better than Drew Lock, but that's not a very high bar. So give me the Broncos in fourth.
Yeah. But that's
I think they're competitive. Yeah. Like, I don't think they're going to be awful.
Yeah, there's nobody awful in that division.
Right.
And I don't think you can say that for sure about any other division in the AFC. You can't.
Not in the AFC, for sure. But yeah, there is one division that you can say that about. Oh, yeah. We're going to get to that coming up next. What could be the best division in the NFL? The NFC West. Titans will get their first look at that coming up on Sunday. We'll preview that division next. Right now, though, got to tell you about my friends at the Nashville Predators. And hockey is almost back, and it's your time to think about getting back in the building at Bridgestone Arena. Regular season and preseason games in October, November, and December now on sale to the general public, and future months will go on sale in the coming weeks. They're on sale exclusively at Ticketmaster.com. The Nashville Predators cannot wait to fill Bridgestone Arena with 17,159 of the best fans in sports once again. So don't miss out on the 16 exciting home games scheduled during the first 3 months of the season. For more information on Predators tickets, you can visit NashvillePredators.com/tickets. Once again, that's NashvillePredators.com/tickets. ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in Saturday as Nashville SC takes on Montreal. Pre-game starts at 6:45 and the match begins at 7 o'clock. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Looking ahead to the divisions in the NFL, we've done the AFC West today. Now looking at the NFC West, and Joe, the Titans will get their first look at the NFC West through the first couple of weeks this season, with Arizona coming in on Sunday and then Seattle in week two out west. This very well could be the best division in all of the NFL. Now we'll see how that plays out this year, but certainly I think you can make that argument last year that it was the best division in the entire National Football League. And with San Francisco healthier heading into this year, I think that makes that division that much better. So you've got the 49ers, the Rams, the Seahawks, and the Cardinals. There's not a bad team that's in that group. I'm really interested to see how this division is going to play out.
Yeah, the clear fourth place pick is Arizona. I think everyone would pick Arizona fourth if everyone is picking Arizona fourth. Arizona's a playoff quality team. I think now if some things work out for them. But you think about J.J. Watt, overpaid, but J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones as a tandem, you know, that could be interesting. They got speed at linebacker, some good young players, good safety, Buda Baker, and then a lot of talent on offense. The story for them is going to be health on D, but more than anything, it's Kyler Murray. I mean,
yep.
If you look at this division from the quarterback perspective, that's obviously the only hesitation with the Niners, because I just feel like, how many times do you see it? I don't have the stat on this, but I swear this is like almost a lock, is that you see so many Super Bowl losers then have bad seasons the next year. That's people have talked about that for a long time. Like, that's happened a lot. But then the year after that, they come back in a big way.
Yep.
And that part of it, I don't have stats on, but it's happened many times, and I think the Niners are due for that. Again, they need good luck. They're due for some good luck. The Seahawks, good team. I mean, the thing is, I guess the clear favorite would be the Rams, but I mean, I still think there are questions about them too. This should be just a great race.
Well, it's going to be a great race, and you've got Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. They'll have something to say about it as well, and, you know, all the saga of the offseason of him requesting a trade or putting a team list out there and then getting to to off-season workouts for the Seahawks and say, eh, I never requested a trade. I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, Russell, whatever. I guess you technically didn't request a trade, but when your agent's putting out destinations of places you'd like to go, that conversation's gotten down the road a little bit.
This reminds me of my worst thing in sports today, which I'll save for that. But, like, NFL fans, you got to start realizing, like, there are people who talk to front office people of your team and other teams. Like, they're not making crap up, dude.
Yeah.
They talk to the people. And they tell them stuff. And then, yes, sometimes you'll get the, what? What do you mean? What are you talking about? You need to be able to read through that.
More intriguing player to you in this division. Is it Matt Stafford coming in as quarterback of the Rams? Is it Jimmy G with the Niners and the level that he can play? Because I still kind of think if they can get good quarterback play out of Jimmy G, this Niners team could be the best team in the entire division.
Well, I that question to me is not close because I think I know what Jimmy G is, and I think he is good. I think he's good enough to win a lot of games for them. And I like the sort of the plan they have with Trey Lance. They're not going to, you know, just throw him into it, of course. He is the quarterback of the future, but they're going to keep him involved. I think that's a nice role. Now, of course, if Jimmy G does struggle, then at some point the most popular guy in the NFL town is often the number two quarterback. So that could be intriguing, but I'm way more intrigued with Matthew Stafford. I really, truly believe – look, I've been forced to watch more Lions football than I'd care to watch. It was nice to hear Brennan acknowledge that they're going to suck, at least last night, when we told him their number one receiver is Cleve Raymond. He was like, what?
Oh, yeah.
He's transitioning to being a Titans fan, so this is, you know, they're positive.
It's a big
things.
Year for him.
Yeah, but I've watched a lot of Matthew Stafford, and I'm a big believer in him. I am. Now, he hasn't been perfect, and sometimes he forces stuff that you just don't need to force. But again, he played for the Lions. I just feel like in that offense, with that coach, with good weapons, with a good defense, you know, the running game is not as good as it was supposed to be, but I still think it can be pretty good. I'm very intrigued by Matthew Stafford. I think that I think he could be great and they could be great. And I'm more on the believing side of that. I mean, both LA teams are like they're sexy picks, right? It's a Hollywood year.
A lot of hype.
A lot of hype for the I am much more buying of the Rams hype than I am of the Chargers hype.
And then Seattle. I mean, they just kind of – and I feel like they're kind of an afterthought for some people. When the Niners are in the division, they're healthier. I mean, I saw a lot of, you know, predictions yesterday looking ahead at Defensive Player of the Year. Whole lot of Nick Bosa on that list, which, hey, yeah. That's a good pick. But
yep.
A lot of love for the Niners, a lot of love for the Rams. The Seahawks, very good team, very good quarterback. Still, to me, far and away, the best quarterback in this division. I like the Seahawks. I think they're going to be really good once again.
They are too much of an afterthought, and, of course, we're going to see them real soon. The Titans get to play them week two. So people around here are going to watch some Seahawks football early and in a maybe the best environment, too, in the NFL. And now it's back to being, you know, truly what it is. I mean, you've got Metcalf and Lockett, pretty good running game. You know, their defense is –
it's not the Legion Boom.
Yeah, it's not what it was. And maybe that's kind of the hesitation. And I think also there's just like the whole Russell Wilson stuff. Like, what does that mean? I wouldn't, you know, to me, it's like, okay, now you're into a season. You be pros about it. And I imagine he'll play well. You said he's far and away the best QB. I mean, I can't argue that he's the best.
He is far and away the best.
I think Matthew Stafford
is not in the same breath as Russell Wilson. Give me a break. Give me a break.
But see, I will argue. Here's the thing. Russell Wilson has – look, he's better. I'm not saying that he's not better. He's better. But like some – you got multiple tiers between those guys?
Yes, I do.
this is – and look, this is what happens with people who play for the Detroit Lions. They people think less of them.
Name one thing that Matthew Stafford does better than Russell Wilson.
Oh, his arm talent is absolutely better. Okay, than
name
Russell
one thing actually playing the quarterback position,
throwing the football.
That Matthew Stafford does better than Russell Wilson.
So throwing the football, is that a part of playing quarterback? He throws the football better than Russell Wilson throws it. He has better arm talent.
His receivers better than Russell Wilson throws it? Because that's what playing quarterback is.
Well, I mean,
you have to complete the pass.
You want
to
see the stats? I mean,
yes.
Okay. I'll give you the Matthew Stafford career stats. They're ridiculous.
I know that they're
terrible. Okay, so what are you talking about?
Does he complete the ball to his receivers better than Russell Wilson?
Did I say he was better?
No.
Okay.
I asked you to tell me one thing better that he does.
He has better arm talent than Russell Wilson.
Okay.
So I've answered your question. I said Russell Wilson is better. There's not some massive gap.
Oh, there's a big gap.
I mean, let's see. 5,038 yards. 97.2 rating, 49.67, 46.50, 44.46, 4,042.64, 85.7 rating, 97 rating, 93 rating, 99.3 rating. I mean, the numbers, you want to compare them? They're pretty comparable. In some cases, they're a lot better for a terrible team with Russell Wilson playing for great teams with great defenses. With Marshawn Lynch. Again, I would take Russell Wilson over Matthew Stafford. But no, the gap is not huge.
So with that said, how do you predict this division finishes, 1 through 4? Maybe the toughest division to predict in all of the NFL.
I'm going to go Rams.
Okay.
I'm going to go Niners.
Oh, yeah.
Seahawks, Cards. Seahawks, and again, Cards. I think the Seahawks are a playoff team. I think the Cards are very close to a playoff team. But, yeah, the Cali teams, 1 and 2.
I say all that. I've got the Niners at number 1. I've got the Niners at 1. I've got the Rams at 2 because I love their defense. Seahawks 3. Cardinals 4. But I think every team in this division is going to win at least 9 games. I think it's going to be a really good division.
I agree. It's a very good division with
very good multiple quarterbacks. Great quarterbacks galore in this division. Kyler Murray is going to come in here and throw for 400 yards on Sunday.
He might. He might. Mike Vrabel said Jeffrey Simmons told us yesterday Mike Vrabel tells him to capture him, not kill him.
I saw that.
Jeez. getting intense right away.
Getting intense right away in week 1 for that Titans defense.
I do get with that really quick for people. That, you know, the point is if you try to take a big hit on the guy,
he's going
to
be running
out,
for 25
yards. You got to keep him hemmed in. But, yeah, it's an interesting way to put it.
It was very interesting. When we come back, speaking of interesting, Joe Rexrow, Jared Stillman had a very interesting discussion yesterday regarding Vanderbilt and the investment level of their football program. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.